Like the blind man I wandered, so lost and undone. A beggar so helpless, without God or his son. Then my Savior in mercy heard and answered my cry. Well, oh, what a difference since Jesus passed by. Since Jesus passed by, since Jesus passed by. Oh, what a difference since Jesus passed by. Well, I can't explain it, and I cannot tell you why. But oh, what a difference since Jesus passed by. All my yesterdays are buried in the deepest of the sea. That old load of guilt I carried, it's all gone, praise God, I'm free. Looking for that bright tomorrow where no tears will dim the eye. Well, oh, what a difference since Jesus passed by. Since Jesus passed by, since Jesus passed by. Oh, what a difference since Jesus passed by. Well, I can't explain it, and I cannot tell you why. But oh, what a difference since Jesus passed by. Since Jesus passed by, since Jesus passed by. Oh, what a difference since Jesus passed by. Well, I can't explain it, and I cannot tell you why. But oh, what a difference since Jesus passed by. Well, I can't explain it, and I cannot tell you why. But oh, what a difference since Jesus passed by.
Amen. Been a difference. Amen. It makes all the difference, doesn't it? It sure does. I'm glad that Jesus passed by. I know when he did. I sure do. What about you? Can you recount a time in your life that Jesus passed by your way? You responded to him and he saved you in his grace. Isn't it a wonderful thing? It's life changing. It's life changing. I get real concerned about people, and I'm just going to say this, we're going to move on, but I'm real concerned about people who claim to be a Christian, and I don't know what's in people's hearts. I don't know what's in folks' hearts. Sometimes I have trouble sorting out what's in my own heart. But I'll tell you this, I know what the Bible teaches. And when Jesus passes by, when you receive Jesus as your personal Savior, it's life-changing. Amen. It's life-changing. And so I just trust that if you're here today and you don't know him as your personal Savior, that you will trust him. Trust him. He's going to call you today. He's going to call you. See, folks don't get saved because God doesn't call. He's still calling. He's still calling. He said, you will not come to me that you might be saved. He's still calling. Folks are just not coming. And so if God calls you today, I pray you would come. I do. I want to talk to you a little bit about the grace of God. But before we get there, I've got to navigate myself through some scripture. We've been talking out of the book of Genesis. We're going through the book of Genesis on our Sunday mornings in our studies, and we're going through the book of the Revelation in our Sunday night. And last week, we talked a little bit about the days of Noah. And it was a sad day. It sure was. It's a sad day in which we live. Jesus said, as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. And there's a lot of things that we've looked at. This morning, I want to take some thoughts that we've tried to put together, and I want to talk to you about man's responsibility to God's sovereignty. You say, well, what do you mean by that? Well, I mean that verse number 8 of Genesis chapter 6 says that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. But I want you to know that everybody finds grace in the eyes of the Lord. See, God loves people. And God wants to extend His grace, and He will extend His grace. He has already extended His grace. It's not irresistible. I'm going to say that one more time. It's not irresistible. Folks say, well, you know, if you're going to get saved, you're going to get saved. That's not what happened here, and that's not what the Bible teaches. God, in chapter number 6, after all the things that had happened in this age, and I want to just recount them before we get to that key verse in verse number 8, and see what Noah did when he found grace in the eyes of the Lord. He didn't just say, well, you know, there it is. I found grace in the eyes of the Lord, and so surely I'm going to be rescued from the judgment to come. No, there was a human response to God's sovereignty. See, that's the way God has this thing set up. See, you and I, we have a part in how we receive God's grace. We have a human responsibility to act by faith on the grace that has been extended. And don't you let anyone tell you any different. Well, you know, preacher, there's just some folks that's going to heaven and some folks that are going to hell, and we can't help it. We can't make a difference. Listen, that is not what the Bible teaches. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. However, not everyone is going to heaven. Man has a human responsibility to God's divine sovereignty. I don't want you to get that mixed up. See, there's some people that are all on one side, and they're all works. You know, well, I got to work my way to heaven. It can't be done. It can't be done. There's not enough works you can do. Listen, we could take all the good in every person in this building and outside of this building and put it all together, and all of our righteousnesses would be a filthy rags. It would not even get us, listen, it wouldn't get us out of this building, let alone into heaven. So it's not, listen, there's some people on the extreme to, well, I've got to work myself to heaven. I've got to do better. I've got to do my best, and maybe God will let me in. That's not biblical salvation. The Bible knows nothing of that kind of life, that kind of invitation to receive Jesus and to gain entrance into heaven. And then the extreme on the other side as well, there's nothing I can do. If it's meant for me to go to heaven, then God, I'm one of God's chosen ones, and it's irresistible grace. I'm a Calvinist, and I can't help it, so I'm just going to heaven. Or I can't help it, God didn't choose me, so I'm condemned to hell. The Bible nowhere teaches that foolishness. That's not biblical. You see, it's God's divine sovereignty, and it's man's human responsibility. God's done the work. God will even give us the gift of faith to receive the work that He has done, but there must be a human response to God's divine sovereignty. And I want to talk to you about that. Before I get into some of the background, I want you to look again at verse number 8. Of Genesis chapter 6. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. But it didn't stop there. Now, I don't want to get ahead of myself, but I want you to drop down into verse number 14. And God said, make thee an ark. Noah, you've got something to do with this. You've got a decision to make. Can I tell you, if you're here today and you're not saved in the grace of God, you have found eyes or grace in the eyes of the Lord. You found grace in the eyes of the Lord. God sent His Son to die for you individually. God sent His Son to die in your place and pay the penalty for your sin. But that in itself is not going to get you to heaven. No more than folks knowing that the blood of the Passover lamb had been shed. It had to be applied before the death angel would pass over their lot. So don't you think, well, you know, I believe in God, and I believe that God sent his son Jesus, and I believe that Jesus died on the cross. I have found grace in the eyes of the Lord, and that a head knowledge in that alone is going to reserve you a place into heaven. It's not going to do it. There has to be a human response to divine sovereignty. And so when Noah found grace in verse number 8 in the eyes of the Lord, God said, now I've got something that you need to do because of that. All right? And we'll talk about that. We'll talk about that. But before we do, I want you to get a little bit of the backdrop. The backdrop. We've talked about it. You go back into chapter number 4 just for a moment. We talked about, and I'm just going to highlight a few verses. We've seen where God, as we were navigating our way through the scripture, where God had told Adam, the day that thou eatest of that tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt surely die. We know what happened. As a matter of fact, we are where we are today because that happened. We are sinners. We are sinners born into sin. Born into sin. And so when God told Adam, when you eat of that, you're going to die. He died spiritually that day. Now, some 900 and some odd years later, it came to fruition and he died physically. When we see in chapter 4, notice if you would in chapter 4, look if you would in verse number 8, the latter part of verse 8 of chapter 4, where the Bible says this. It says that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him. So that's what sin does. See, sin has consequences. Look, if you would, in chapter 4 and verse number 16. Cain went out from the presence of the Lord. Remember us talking about that? See, that's what happens when man has an incorrect view of how God deals with sin. Cain didn't want to let God deal with his sin like his parents did. Cain became wroth. He became angry. He said, God is unfair. That seems to be the prevalent mindset of our world today. God is unfair. Listen, you better thank God in heaven that he's just. God is not unfair. The scripture says that Cain went out, and we've seen where that civilization in verse number 17 of chapter 4, they began to busy themselves building cities and marrying and giving in marriage until we find where one of his Lamech, one of his descendants in verse number 19, took him two wives. Man began to say, we're not going to do it God's way. And then we talked about in verse number 21, 22, it talks about men having cattle. In verse 21, about people playing instruments. In verse 22, about people being constructive in commerce. And listen, this thing, and I can't overemphasize this. This thing of our school systems teaching evolution is a light of hell. It was concocted in hell and it's made its way to earth, and we need to do everything we can to stand against that lie. Stand against that lie. Put it out there. Don't you sit back and listen to people tell you, well, we came from some group of organisms that washed up on the sea and rode around in the sand and eventually became a tadpole and then a monkey. Hey, that's out of hell, I tell you. The Bible says right here that in their very first civilization, these people were advanced in their thinking. They were advanced in their trade and in their commerce and in their way that they approach life. Then in chapter number 5, 8 times you read, and he died, and he died, and he died, because man wanted to do life without God, and Cain went out from the presence of the Lord, and sin began to multiply because the earth began to multiply. And then when you get over to chapter number 5 and you get down into verse number 21, there was a man by the name of Enoch. Now, this is not from the descendant of Cain. This is from the descendant of Seth, or Abel, Seth, actually. And so the scripture says here that in verse number 21, that Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And we talked about that. And oh, Enoch walked with God, didn't he? You know what that tells me? I can walk with God in a perverse and crooked generation. It tells me that you can walk with God in a perverse and crooked generation. Enoch walked with God, and God began to work in his life. He walked with God after he begat Methuselah. Obviously, there was a message, and we've seen where when Methuselah died, when we calculated the time, the flood came, just like God said it would. Can I tell you that everything that God said is going to happen is going to happen? There's some ways that we need to approach the Word of God. Number one, it either has already happened just like God said it was going to. Number two, it is happening just like God said it was going to. Number three, it is going to happen just like God said it was going to. Bottom line, whatever God says is so. The Bible is always right, brethren. Always right. And so as these things are building and as society is moving farther and farther away from God, and they're putting God out of their life, they don't want to have God in their mind, and they not only have pleasure in unrighteousness, but they have pleasure in those that do it themselves. Chapter number 6 begins, as Pastor BJ read in your mind, where the sons of God saw the daughters of men. And I'm not going to go into the detail. I believe this was angels, and you say, well, I don't believe that. Well, that's fine. I'm not going to break fellowship with you. But I will tell you where the Bible says they were giants in those days, and there was some things going on that's outside of really what human reasoning can grasp. And then it comes to the place in verse number 5 where it says that God saw the wickedness of man. Satan had perverted the earth. Can I tell you that he's doing that today? He is. And there's a lot of people that are caught up into this trap. This old world is a perverted place, brethren. And while I know we're in the world, thank God we're not of it. Amen. And we see where God looked down and he saw in verse number 5 that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And verse number 6, the latter part of verse number 6 says, it grieved God in his heart. That's the state that the world had gotten itself into through the perversion of Satan. But not only is there the perversion of Satan on the earth, thank God for the perfection of one man. You say perfection, completeness. His life was complete because he had believed God. He had trusted God. I want you to see what the Bible says in verse number 8. It says, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Verse 9 says, these are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect, which means complete. Your life, my life, no life will ever be complete until we get right with our Maker. You can try building cities. You can try marrying wives. You can try marrying and giving in marriage. You can try eating and drinking. You can try going on with life your way, doing things your way, trying to live your dream, quote unquote. But until you get right with God Almighty, your life will never be complete. Never. God brings completeness to life. And that's exactly what Noah did. Noah believed God. And so we see a man who said, I am going to believe God. The Bible says of Noah that he was a preacher of righteousness. You see what the Bible's here in verse number 9, it says Noah was a just man. We find some things about Noah. Noah was righteous. He was just. He wanted to do the right thing. That's what happens when a person has made a decision that they're going to live for God. You want to do the right thing. Say, preacher, do you always do the right thing? You mind your own business. You know, and I know that we're of this old sinful flesh, and I'm not making excuses for the occasion of the flesh, but I'm telling you, brethren, that at our very best, we are what we are by the grace of God. And Noah found grace, and the Bible says in verse number 9 that he was a just man. That speaks of his righteousness. Aren't you glad for a good heritage? He had a grandfather who walked with God. As far as I can tell in the scripture, here in Genesis 5, it says that Enoch, his great-grandfather, walked with God. In Genesis chapter 6, it says that Noah, look at the latter part of verse number 9, it says that he walked with God. As far as I can tell, these are the only two men in all the scripture that it comes right out and says, these men walked with God. Now, it didn't say God walked with them. See, they didn't take off walking and say, God, you follow. They walked with God. There's a big difference. See, we live in a generation of people where they say, well, you know what? I'm going to do this. God, you bless it. That's not the way God wants it. You say, God, I want you to show me what to do, and as I do it, then would you bless it? See, the Bible didn't say that God walked with them. It said that they walked with God. There's a big difference. They made a decision in their life that though no one else would walk with God, they were going to walk with God. It's a decision that I need to make. It's a decision that you need to make. And if you have not made that choice, I pray you'd make it today. I'm going to walk with God. You say, but preacher, there's so much evil influence. There's so many things around me in this wicked, sinful generation, society that we live in. Can a man walk with God in this generation? Yes, he can. It's a decision by the grace of God, by the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, through the fullness of the Spirit. You and I can, we must walk in the Spirit. So the Bible says he was a just man, he was a righteous, and I thank God for his heritage. I want you to notice something. From Enoch in chapter 5, you get Enoch, and then there was Enoch and Methuselah. I believe Methuselah was a good man of God. Then you get Lamech. Lamech chose to name his son, which was Noah's father. Lamech chose to name him Noah. You know what the name Noah means? Rest. Notice what the Bible says over in chapter number 5. In verse number 29, it says, when Lamech begat his son, in 28, in verse 29 it says, and he called his name Noah, saying, this same shall comfort us concerning our work and toil of our hands because of the ground which the Lord hath cursed. No doubt Noah was a gift from God to Lamech to say that there was some comfort, there was some peace, there was some relief coming, and through his sons, through his loins came our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, Satan tried to stamp the seed out, didn't he? Hey, let me go ahead and get this out here before I get deep into the main point I want to give today. Satan always loses. Now, I want you to listen very carefully. You say, well, it looks like he's winning. It's not over. Satan always loses. You know why? He's a loser. He's a loser. He always loses. See, he thought, I'll corrupt the world. God had given a promise in the garden, right there in his presence. And he said, I am going to give the seed to a woman. And Satan done his very best to corrupt the earth, to annihilate the flesh and the human race, and to corrupt it so that God would just wipe them off. But thank God there was one man that stood between us and annihilation. And he found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And through Noah, the world was repopulated. And here we are today. You say, preacher, do you really believe that? I wish I could open it up and let you see every fiber in my being, because that's what believes what I just told you. Amen. Listen, there's not a fiber in my being that does not believe that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And that's why we are here today enjoying this great experience called the Christian life. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, the grace of God. The perversion of Satan, the perfectness of Noah. Noah was a man not only of righteousness. Notice if you would in verse number 13 of chapter 6, and God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me. That's revelation. Aren't you glad that God will tell you what he's going to do? Listen, I'm not feeling my way through life. I pray to God there's no one here that's just feeling their way through life. God will let you in on his plan if you want to know. Amen. God will let you in on it. God had already said, let me back up a little bit. I think now that it's in, let me find it here. I think it's in verse number 7. Look at chapter 6 of Genesis, verse number 7. The Lord said, I will destroy man. God said that. God said, I'm going to destroy man. But then after verse number 7, verse number 8 and 9, Noah found grace and God said, I'm going to share what I'm going to do with my man. I'm glad that God gives revelation. I'm glad that God doesn't leave us out on what he's going to do. See, I know how this thing's going to end, brethren. You say, preacher, are you discouraged with all the things that are going on? Listen, I would to God that things were different, but you hear me this morning. God has shown me in his word, like God has shown you through the revelation of this book, the way these things are going to wind down. God is going to win. He always wins. All God's people are going to heaven. Are you listening to me? That's the way this is going in. You say, oh, preacher, I wish I knew. I just wish I knew where this was headed. I can tell you where it's headed. Be here on Sunday nights. We're studying how the direction this thing's going in out of the book of the Revelation. And so Noah was a man of righteousness in verse number 9. But the Bible says in verse number 13, God said unto Noah, this is what I'm going to do. But Noah was also a man of reverence. Aren't you glad that when God told Noah to do something, now don't miss this. Look if you would in verse number 14. After God told him what he was going to do, he said, I'm going to destroy the earth and all the inhabitants thereof. And he said, now here's what you need to do. Now basically, that's what has happened in this dispensation of time. See, don't you think that nobody has ever been saved by their works? Works has never and will never save anyone. God said, I'm going to save you. But now you have to respond to my word in order to be saved. You say, well, I'm going to go to heaven, but I'm going to go my way. No one ever gets to heaven their way. There's only one way to heaven. Neither is there salvation in any other. Hear me clearly now. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And Jesus said, I am the way. He's the only way. You see, the Bible says in 1 Timothy 2:5, there is one God. I said one now. There's not two, there's not four, there's not six, there's not multiple gods. Jesus is not a God that you put on the shelf with other gods. Say amen. We have missionaries tell us all the time, Brother Hill, that, you know, we go to these cultures and they have these multiplicity of gods and they have pluralism and they say of gods, and they say, well, you know, I want to receive Jesus so that I can put him on the shelf with other gods. Hear me now. There is no such thing as that. It's not Christ and, it's Christ or. It's Christ or. Either Jesus Christ is Lord of all or he is not Lord at all. Amen. It's Jesus. Our country is fastly becoming like a lot of third world countries when it comes to religions. Well, you know, I don't think it matters what you believe as long as you're sincere. Well, you're wrong. And I mean that in the sincerest way. You're wrong. It does matter what you believe. It does matter what the Bible says. It does matter that God says you must repent, except a man be born again. He cannot see the kingdom of God. Hey, these things matter. They matter. And so when Noah reverenced God, it wasn't because, number one, God told him. It wasn't because he knew what God was going to do. I want you to follow carefully in verse number 14. He said, I want you to make an ark of gopher wood. He said, now Noah, this is what I want you to do. Now what did Noah do? Lays around and say, well, I know what God said do. He did what God said do. See, this is where a lot of people have a disconnect. It's not enough to know what God said do. We have to obey what God said do. Come on, say amen. Amen. We are living in an age where people think that it's enough just to know what God says. I've said it over and over again from this pulpit. There are so many people, when you begin to talk to them about the Bible, God, sin, salvation. Oh, I know. Listen, you say you know. That's not why I'm telling you this. If you don't know, I am telling you so you can know. But I'm telling you so you can do what you know. Because until you do what you know when it comes to this matter of salvation, you're not saved. Knowing it's not enough. So when God told Noah, don't miss this now, verse 14, when God told Noah, make thee an ark. I want you to notice verse number 22 of chapter 6. Thus did Noah according to all that God commanded him, so did he. Look, if you would, in chapter 7, verse number 5. And Noah did according unto all that God commanded him. The latter part of verse number 9 of chapter 7 says, as God had commanded Noah. The latter part of verse number 15, as God had commanded him. You know what Noah was doing? He was responding, human response, to divine sovereignty. He was responding to what God said to do. Noah, do you want to be safe? Do you want to escape the judgment? Then this is the way you do it. And so he responded to what God said to do. Now, in the day that we live in, God has given some instruction. And that instruction is that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Have you responded to that? See, that's the human responsibility, is to respond to the truth that God has given. So, well, I'm just gonna kind of float on through and hope I make it, preacher. You don't have to do that. You can know that you know that when you leave this life, you're going to heaven. Amen. But now you've got to respond to what God said to do. It's not about what a church says, in case it lines up with this book. A preacher, a family member. It's not by something that maybe you or I have dreamed up. It's we find out what God said, and that's exactly what God did. He told Noah, he made, listen, when you follow this, chapter 6, look at it. In verse number 14, he gave distinct instruction. This is what you are to do. And Noah didn't say, God, I think I'm going to do some of this, but now I think I'm going to kind of ad lib right here. No. See, that's the way a lot of folks approach Christianity. I'm going to do some, you know, what God said, but now this part, I think I'm just going to kind of go out on my own here. That's not the way you approach Christianity. You do what God said to do, and God will save you in His grace. Amen? So, Noah found grace. We see this. Now, I want to close with this. So I want you to listen. Here's my main point. All that was introductory work. Give me about 10, 15 minutes and listen carefully. What happened, preacher? What happened? Satan perverts the earth. Man's living in open rebellion against God. And God looks down and he sees that the wickedness of man, that the thoughts and the intents of man's heart is on the evil continually. But there's this man who says, I want to stand out. I want to live for God. I want to do what's right. And God said, you want to be saved? You want to be safe? You want to escape the danger? Then this is what you do. And God said, I want you to build an ark. Look what he said now. Look in verse number 16 of chapter 6. He said, there's going to be one window. You know how big the ark was? They tell me, and I've never been to the Creation Institute's, I think it's Ken Ham, I think so. Now, I'm not sure. Somebody shake your head this. Is it Ken Ham, the ark in Kentucky? Okay, they tell me that thing is enormous. Okay, enormous. And the Bible gives the dimensions on it. Enormous. One window. Look at it again, verse 16. A window. God said, listen, I want you looking up, Noah. I want you looking up. I think there's a great message here. I'm not going to preach it. I think there's a great message here. The Bible says we're to look unto Jesus. We're to look up. Christians ought not be walking around with their heads down. We are to look to Jesus. We need to look up. God said, Noah, times are going to get very testing. They're going to get very trying. And I'm going to build a window. I want you to look up. Number two, look in verse number 16, right in the middle there. And it says, and the door of the ark. One door. See, it doesn't matter what size you are. Hear me now. It doesn't matter what size you were. The eagle went in the same way the grasshopper did. Somebody say amen with me. One door. Did you know that there are people that believe, well, I don't smoke, and I don't curse, and I don't chew, and I don't do drugs, and I'm a pretty good old person. You're a sinner that needs to be saved. See, you go in the same door that the smoker goes through. You go through the same door that the addict goes through. That the pimp, the punks, the prostitutes, we all have to get in the same way. That's the way God made this. So if there's someone sitting here and you say, number one, on this side, I tell you, we take things to the extreme, don't we, brethren? I mean, we're extremists. Well, I got to work my way to heaven. Well, it's all God. And then we do it with ourselves. Well, you know, I'm too bad to be saved. You just don't know what I've done to people. God knows what you've done to people, and Jesus still died for you. Well, I'm too good. I don't need to be saved. My righteousness in itself. We're just extremists. We're the most unbalanced thing that God ever made on this earth. We just go from one extreme to the next. But God said in verse number 16, he said, I want there to be one door. And Jesus said, I am the door. Now, I'm telling you, there's only one way to heaven. You say, well, preacher, we know that. Well, get out there and tell the rest of the world then. Amen? Get out there and tell them. I told you last week, one of the saddest scriptures in all the Bibles, in Matthew 24, when Jesus said that men were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day the flood came and knew not until it took them all away. I don't know. Some people have estimated, and the Bible doesn't say, and I want to make this very clear, so don't leave here and say, well, my preacher said that there was 2 million people on the earth when the flood came. I did not say that. The Bible doesn't say. But there are some biblical historians that believe that there was no less than 1 million, possibly 2 million people. Peter said that Noah was a preacher of righteousness. I wonder if Noah made it to every neighborhood. I thought about this, Brother Hill, when I was thinking about your family being here, and I was thinking about our upcoming missions conference. You know, we're kind of in that day today. Isn't that what the Bible says? Didn't Jesus say, as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be? I wonder, you know, when the Bible says they knew not, was it because they were so busy? And I think that it probably was because of the context of the scripture. They was eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day the flood came. But I wonder if that knew not could also mean the preacher didn't come to town. Noah was bivocational, building a boat and preaching the gospel. I don't know that that message could have reached everyone. I don't know. Maybe Methuselah was helping him until he left. I don't know. But I know this. I know that the church has a responsibility to get this message that we enjoy out to a lost and dying world. Now I pray that you would pray, and I will pray, and we will do our part. One of the things that as we sit week after week and we hear preaching and we read our Bibles and we say, well, you know, I know that. And that's great, but are you doing it? Preacher, I know that there's people that have not heard the gospel. Then are you telling them? I know that there's people that are lost that I work with or in my neighborhood, and I know that if they die in the condition they're in, they're going to die in their sin and go to hell. Well, let's tell them. Let's tell them. Right? Right? Would you support a missionary that went to a foreign field and wouldn't tell people? If you don't tell them, pretty messed up that you'd expect someone to go somewhere and tell them. Right? I'm going to give you three words. Write them down. Salvation. I'm glad that God rescued Noah and his family. 8 souls rescued, saved from danger, preserved through judgment. 8. The ark's a picture of Christ. Number 2, salvation, but there's also condemnation. The Bible says that Noah, by the building of the ark, saved his house, but he condemned the world. One day, judgment's coming to this world, brethren. You know, preacher, we hear that all the time. It's because it's so. That's why we hear it all the time. It is so. Judgment's coming. It's coming. I trust that you're prepared. Trust that you're prepared. And then finally, salvation. I'm glad that God's provided a way. He's always provided a way. From the days of the garden to the day that we're in right now, God still has always provided a way. Aren't you glad for that? I'm thankful for that. Number 2, condemnation. There's people. They're real people that are in real trouble. And they need our help. They need our help. The world doesn't know how much it needs the church. But one day the church will be removed. And all hell will be unleashed upon this earth. We are the salt and the light. God help us to realize there's a world around us that is condemned. Salvation, condemnation, and then preservation. Look, if you would, in chapter number 6, verse number 16, Noah had told them to come into the ark, God had called them into the ark. They went in the ark, and God shut them in. We talked about that. I want you to look at the latter part of verse number 16. It says, the Lord shut him in. Preservation. Now, Jude said that we're preserved. Peter said we're kept by the power of God. There may be someone sitting here this morning, and as we close this service, you may be saying, preacher, I got saved. I trusted Christ as my Savior. I hope I make it. You don't have to hope you make it. You see, God didn't tell him to drive a peg in the side of the boat and hang on through the storm, and if they made it, they made it. God didn't tell them to hang on. He told them to get in. Listen to me now. He said, get in. Come in the ark, thou and thy family. Come in the ark. And God shut them in. He shut them in. You understand? We're not hanging on the outside of the ark by some peg, you know, trying to hold on and until the storm's over. Brethren, we're safe within the comfort of Jesus Christ. If you're saved this morning, you're saved eternally. You're saved. You say, well, preacher, I'm not a perfect person. Now, you'd get mad if somebody else told you that. There's none of us perfect. We ought to strive for perfection. Right? Right? You ought to strive for perfection. You're going to fall short, but that doesn't mean you don't strive. Preservation. We're kept. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. You know what happened when the storm passed by? When the waters receded? You know how Noah sent out the raven and the dove? And then God said, Noah, time to get out. What did Noah do? We're going to pick up here next week. He built an altar, and he praised the God of heaven for seeing him through the storm and the time of turbulence. One day, we're going to praise the God of heaven around his throne. We can praise him now. Did you praise God this week for your salvation? I hope that you did. I hope that you praise God for your salvation, for being saved, for his kindness and his goodness to you. Let's all stand. One day we're going to get to heaven. We're going to praise the Lord for his goodness. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. You say, preacher, can I find grace in the eyes of the Lord? You already have. God's grace is shed upon you. But by faith, you need to receive the grace of God. It's not by works. You'll never earn God's grace. It's not by works of righteousness which we have done. But according to his mercy, he saved us. For by grace are you saved through faith. And Paul said it then, if it's of works, it's no more of grace. Right? Romans 11:6. If it's of works, it's no more of grace. If you could work your way to heaven, the grace of God would be nullified. But you can't. God's grace is going to take us to heaven. But there's a human response. What have you done about the fact that God sent his son and died in your place?